Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
Diligent, an attribute to success. So the first thing we want to go into this month is we want to see where did the word diligence come from. And this is why I want to go this way. This is how I normally teach before. But, you know, I kind of piped low on it. So that it won't look like my own is too much. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So, we want to look at the word diligence. And the reason why I want to look at this word is because even today, somebody sent me a text message back to back on why the Bible is so confusing. Many people are arguing English is not the real word from the Bible. If you want to understand the Bible, you have to go back. And yeah, that's true. That's true. But you can even go back and still not understand the Bible because you were not there. You don't know what was happening at the time. Until the Holy Ghost teach you, you will not know. But yes, it's true to go back to the original words so that you can actually understand what that English word is talking about. All right? So today I want to take us back to where this word came from. Not the back Greek or Aramaic, but the back to where the word diligence stems from. So in school, we'll call it the etymology of the word diligence. How many people know about etymology? You did it in school, right? Etymology. If you know it, let me see your hands. When you say etymology of the word, people did English in school now. Why are people making it seem as if I'm the only one that went to school? So there's a class, I can't remember what class, you have to, when they give you a word, you have to go and find a root word and write an essay on it, you know? So many times, so that's why it's not good to be using any word. You're using any word, you don't know the meaning of the word, you know? So, so that's how I want us to go in today so that we can be able to understand this word before we start using it. And they run out of ideas, you know? Okay. So, okay. So let's go to the word diligence. Let's look at the etymology of the word. So the word diligence wasn't originally an English word. From the top of my head, because I thought about this before, D-I-L-I-G-E-R-E, how do you pronounce that? Some people say diligere. Some people that want to pronounce the whole thing say diligere or diligere. Whatever you pronounce, however you pronounce it. That's the original word from Latin. For those that don't understand what Latin is, it's Latin. And I'm trying to explain this just in case any audience anywhere in the world get to hear this, since we have a lot of people from India watching us. All right. So it's from the Latin word diligere. And it means to value or esteem highly. What do you want to succeed in? You have to value it. You have to esteem that thing highly. Let me talk about money. I don't know why I always talk about money. I like money too much. You know, I realize that if you respect money, it will come. If you respect money, it doesn't matter what you're doing. You can do anything. I know taxi drivers that have houses everywhere. I know taxi drivers that are very wealthy, but you will not believe it's taxi they are driving. I'm telling you. So it doesn't matter what you're doing. I'm being honest with you. You can be a shoe shiner and you succeed. You can do anything. Don't worry about names. I want to be a doctor or a lawyer and I want to be an engineer. Don't worry about those names. There are a lot of them that are suffering. And if you are there, you can succeed there too. Whatever you want to do, all right? Whatever you want to do, you have to value it. See, if you respect money, and I don't know how to explain the respect money part. If you respect money, you attract more. you attract more. Let's leave that money part first. So no matter what you want to do and succeed in it, you have to value that thing and you have to respect it. When you say esteem it highly, you have to respect that craft. Or whatever it is, you have to respect it. And when he says to esteem, he says to value or to esteem highly or to love. So diligence is loving that thing. You cannot leave everything for that thing if you don't love it. Are you still here? You can't be diligent on something that you don't love. If you are in it and you don't love it, then we will tell over time because things will make you not just leave it alone. You know, let me just put this out there. There are some jobs that you're doing, for example, you know, I'm using this as an example. This, you know, I'm teaching principles and we can apply it to anything, but let's just use this example. Like there are some jobs that you don't like, but you're doing it. You know you can be diligent in that job. The point is not the job. The point is to succeed. Are you diligent in succeeding? Then the job is just a means to an end. Jesus Christ wanted to die for us. Or rather, he wanted to give us life. Because if I ask now, why did Jesus Christ come? Some of you will say he came to die. That's not the point. Jesus Christ came to give us life. But he had to die to give us life. Was he happy dying? The Bible says Jesus loved, he loved to die. He is a dyer. He didn't like to die. That was just a means to an end. As a matter of fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he go and do there? He went to pray to ask God, God, if it's possible, can they not kill me? Jesus Christ was enjoying earth. People don't understand. There's enjoyment here. But I don't stay here and just be suffering yourself so that you go to heaven. People that enjoy earth can still go to heaven. There's enjoyment here. Jesus Christ was enjoying the earth. And he didn't want to be beaten and slapped and choked with knife. Nobody wants it. But that was just a means to an end. What was he diligent on? He was diligent on the assignment, though he didn't like what was going to happen to him. So I just wanted to use that to explain things. So that doesn't mean that if you're doing something that you don't like, you go and leave it if the thing is giving you money. What are you diligent on? What do you love? What do you want to do? Give you another example to help you understand better. What you love or what you want to do or succeed in might be helping people, might be giving people money, might be making sure that nobody around you is homeless. Are you still here? That might be what you want to succeed at. But do you know that if you don't have money, you'll not succeed at that thing? So you might be forced to do things that you don't like to do so that you can be able to do things that you like to do. Are you still here? So your diligence is making sure people around you are helped. But again, you're not going to use your eye teardrops, to help them. It's money you're going to use. So you might have to do something, work, do something you don't like to get the funds to do the one that you like. So just wanted to put that out there. I like to balance my teaching so that you don't say I'm the one that say you should leave your work. And after you leave it now, you start blaming me. Anyway, getting back on course. So it's from the word diligere. Diligere means to value or esteem highly or to love. So the word, again, I'm taking you deeper again in case you wanted to write an essay. Or you wanted to know it deeply. The Latin word diligere is two words. Dis and ligere. Dis means apart. Ligere means to gather. I'll make that clear when they come together. Apart to gather. That means if you're diligent in a thing, you have to set yourself apart to do it well. Are you still here? I have a friend. And he's still my friend any day, anytime, because I can't have enemy. He's one of the sons of one of these prominent bishops. And you know, I don't want to give names. And I remember when we were really young in the church, because I used to go to their church when I was very young, less than 10, God, we were like buddies playing together, me and him and his sister, the one that's close to him in age. And then the last time I saw them was when we did Common Entrance. And then from there, their ministry was already going up, and then it blew up at the time. And of course, I think they came abroad to study, and everything, you know, and that's how, you know, we were young, there was no cell phone, it wasn't like nowadays, 7 years on, 7 years, they know each other's number, so they would never not be, you know, in contact or in touch. So the next time I saw him was when he came to New York to pastor one of their branches. And then, of course, we greeted. And every time he would keep telling me, he says, why don't you come and join me? Come on. You know, because of course, at the time, everybody in the church kind of knew me. And, you know, and of course, I'm hands-on. You guys see that. So he would always tell me, like, why don't you come? Come and join us. Come and help us. Come on. I'll look the guy. I'll tell him straight up. I'll be like, listen, I cannot leave my own farm. I come and farm in your farm. I know say on a farm, don't they make bundle? But I can't leave my farm for your farm. I know that your farm looks very large. It looks very green now. But I have my assignments. And guess what? Just because we are not doing the same thing, just because we are not on the same assignment, guess what? It affected our relationship. Are you still here? If he wants to succeed in what he was doing then, which he succeeded, he had to cut off. He had to. That means the only people that's going to be around him will be people that are of like mind, of like manner. And I learned that then. Because I was wondering, why is this guy, why don't he want, initially it's like we are cool. But, you know, because I'm not being like your member or whatever. Now it looks as if we are really like distance. Like, well, you know, I'm not a type to ask too much question. I just read the light in the room and I just adjust, you know. So, but I learned something. If I was there, I would be a distraction. Am I a devil? No. So when you have to cut people off, they are not necessarily a devil. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If this person is not aligning with your purpose, if this person is not aligning with where you are going, cut that person off. Don't hate the person. You don't have to hate the person. You don't have to be an enemy with the person, but give the person space so that you can focus on your focus. If you guys see again, of course, if you meet again, you can still talk, you can still be friends. Like that, my friend. Anytime we see, we're still going to chat. But we are not on the same, we're not fulfilling the same assignment. Have you seen where that diligence is going? You see that it's very deep. Diligence is very deep. It's not that easy. It's not like, just be diligent. You know, every time we use that word, just be diligent, I'm thinking, do these people know the amount of gravity that word carries? It's not that easy. So, this and Laguerre, you set yourself apart and you gather the thing you really want to do. So, anyone who's not in line with your purpose, give the person space. Set yourself apart. And be around the people who are going to help you fulfill your purpose, who are in line with it. If not, you'll just be everywhere, fulfilling nothing. All right. Are you understanding where I'm coming from, where I'm going to? There is another one. Before we use our anchor scripture, which everybody knows, we've been using that word, that's usually a lot. But I wanted to go deep into this. Value highly, esteem, prize, love, aspire to, be contented with, appreciate. You have to be contented with that thing. Appreciate. Are you still here? I think that should be fine for today. I mean, that's grand enough for now. We can use that for now. So what do you want to succeed in? Man, there's a new development in our industry, which is going to send me to another class now. If you want to know about it, ask me after service if you're interested in what we're doing. Are you going to know what I'm saying? You have to set yourself apart and gather knowledge. I think we talked about this on Sunday, right? Or the last Thursday. Gather knowledge. Be focused. Love what you're doing. Invest in what you're doing. Respect what you're doing. Diligence. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at the scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 29. I've forgotten that I was supposed to even go deep in that one. Proverbs 22, 29. This one says, observe people who are good at their work. Now, from New King James Version, we'll see what New King James Version says. People who are diligent in their work are people who are good at their work. You cannot be diligent and not be good at your work. You cannot. Okay, let me use Jackson as an example. Not this Jackson, but Jackson, our other Jackson. Let me use one example. See, I know he's going to watch this too. But when the first time we met, he's very inquisitive and he wants to learn. He always wants to learn. So if you see him today, I bet you in the next month, he's not in the same level you met him. I'm telling you. So I remember then, you know, it was a fellowship and we're in my house. We had analog mixer. So we had to buy digital mixer and learn digital mixing. I mean, he knew the basics of sound, but we had to learn digital mixing. That was when digital mixing started like coming out. And he would spend endless nights at my house. He would not sleep. He would be in front of the digital mixer. He would be on YouTube. He would be doing research on Google. I'm telling you. He's so good now to the point where if you give him a hall, he'll first of all measure the hall height and everything, dimensions, and go into the computer and point it somewhere. And the computer will generate the best things and how to set things up. He's that good now. That's one thing I've not learned. Are you understand what I'm saying? But how did he get there? He spent endless nights on the console. He spent endless night. Okay, lighting. I remember then too. He was good at lighting, of course. And he uses the manual stuff. But now we wanted to transition to use the computer to do the same thing the manual stuff would do because we don't want too much load everywhere. He would spend endless nights figuring it out. That's, if you're going to succeed, you have to be diligent. Somebody who is good at their work is somebody who is diligent at their work. And there's no way you're going to be diligent and not be good. It's impossible. You must be even a dullard will be good at their work if they're diligent at it. Proverbs 22:29 AMPC, Amplified Classic. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? Diligent and skillful. I need to bring this out so that you will see that diligent and skill go hand in hand. There is no way you're diligent and not skillful, but he had to add it. So you are not just present, but not willing to learn anything more. Diligence will cause you to learn more about it. Diligence will cause you to learn more about. Don't say you are making six figure now. I don't want to do more. Please do more. I just saw on the news that 700,000 new millionaires were added last year. You are next. You should be next. Don't stop at six figure. That's too small. People are billionaires now. You are still celebrating six figure. Am I charging somebody up? I'm charging you up. Don't stop at six. Six figure is small. Six figure, if you live in Manhattan, you are broke. If you make 500,000, you're living in Manhattan, you are very broke. You are very broke. Do you know how much you're paying for one bedroom apartment in Manhattan? So, don't stop at six figure, please. Don't be comfortable. Push. Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Do you know that if you are very rich, that nations, they will come to you to borrow money from you? Do you know nations can borrow money from a human, like a man? You have not heard that before. You haven't heard that before. Nations have gone to people who have money and said, please, can you lend us money? Instead of America going to China to borrow, why can't they borrow from you? Think about it. Do you know that there are some crime Elon Musk can commit and nothing will happen to him? Do you know that? Yeah. There are some things he can do. I mean, this guy is the richest man in the world. Like, this man can literally just say, you know what? Leave America. Let's go and stay in the mass. And he'll be very fine till he die. And he'll just be coming down like once a week. Just come down, gather what he needs and go back. So, I'm not saying anybody should go and make money so you can commit crime or and go away with it. I'm just saying that don't settle. You can make more out of life. You can become better. You can become better and better. Even Elon Musk is trying to become better. And next thing, he went to go and do a spaceship as car. I hate that car. Cybertruck. He's trying to become better. They want to go and do Bangalore. I call it a car. I don't understand what that is. They better do better with that car too. They better go and be diligent in designing that car and go and redesign it. You know, on TV, it looks nice. But if you see it in real life, it's a nonsense. It's a very... I went to service my car. And then one of the attendants was like, look at that Cybertruck. I'm like, is that a Cybertruck? She said, yes. This is just a waste of time, a waste of energy. I'm like, you're very correct. This, I can't even drive this. I'm not even going to drive this. It doesn't make sense. Who likes the Cybertruck? Have you seen it in real life and you like it? Don't worry. Do you like it? You like it? This guy, they go and register for army. You like to shoot guns if you like that car. you like to be a soldier. The car is not efficacious. You know what efficacious means? Check your dictionary. The car is not efficacious. It's not fly. It's just there like one box. It looks like a car that they don't want to throw bomb. You quickly go and hide that the thing will help you. It will save you from bullets. All right. So, but what are we saying? If you are diligent, it will drive you to be skillful. But make sure you are just not showing up. Learn more. Become skillful in your thing. And you stand before kings, you will not stand before obscure men. Let's rush. NLT. This is the only scripture we're using. Just want to see different. I want to teach some people that might be listening how to study. Somebody sent me a text message today and said the scripture that says, let me read it for you guys. In case you see it, don't worry, I didn't call your name. Where is it? The same Bible that said iniquity of the fathers shall the children pay for. Same Bible is now saying a person shall be put to death for their sin. How many people understand what I'm saying? What he's saying? Okay, then I responded. I said, what was the context? Who was talking? Who was this person talking to? What's the pretext? What's the post text? Once you know all this, you would have the answer to all your questions. Then I said, after you're finding, let me know, because I want to help him. Okay. So, you know how Exodus and Deuteronomy says something. One says, the iniquity of the father shall be visited upon the third and fourth generation. So everybody's now saying generational curse. Wonderful. Another scripture says that whatever the father do, he will suffer for it. His children will not suffer for it. So now the guy is confused. So which one are we following? Which one? These are not both in, this one is not Old Testament and New Testament. This is both Old Testament. So which one are we really following? So, but I will still help him. Don't worry. And we're not going to discuss that now. But I'm just trying to explain to you. Do you see any truly competent worker? So what I'm trying to do, or what why I brought that up, is to explain to you that I'm doing this so that you can understand the scripture. So I told him once, I said, use different translations. Go and read the post-text, read the pretext, read the whole chapter. And who's talking, who is he talking to, and so on and so forth. Then you will get it. You know, so people know how to just pick a scripture and just start posting it and using it up and down without actually understanding. And they will say, well, the Bible has said this. This is it. The Bible has said this. But again, you have to understand that the English wasn't the original word. So go and get, where is this word coming from? When this person said this, what was the custom and tradition of the day? Are you still here? You know, there's a scripture who says that a lady should not preach. A woman should not preach. The scripture who said it. But, and somebody could just take that, and you know, a lot of people are around with that. Just like an answer that says that the woman should not wear a man's clothes and a man should not wear a woman's clothes. So everyone's taking that scripture and around with it. Without understanding where these words came from, who said it, to whom, what was the custom of the day, why was this person saying this? Another popular one is, this one is very popular, the one that says that a woman should cover her head when praying, a man should not cover his head when praying, right? And that answer is in the verse before that verse. But because they failed to read the verse before, and even use their common sense. This one, you even need Holy Spirit. If you read it, use your common sense. Leave Holy Spirit at home. You will understand what he's saying. The English was very clear. Next time, we'll probably look into that. So that's why it's always good to look at post-text, pre-text, use different translation, because you never know why this person is interpreting the way they're interpreting their own. And that's why some churches have now interpreted the Bible in their own English and their own translation. But anyway, let's keep going because of our time. Do you see any truly competent worker? Who did he call competent worker here? A worker who's diligent is a competent worker. A lot of people say, I'm very good at what I do, but you're not competent. How many people know what competent is? Competent. Do you know competent is also stemming from showing up on time and being there all the time? Competent. Look at the meaning because of our time. I'm going to that one. Do you see a truly, you know, a lot of times people think because I'm the best at what I do. My brother, God wants to use somebody who's available, not somebody who knows it better. God is using somebody who's available. The available person can do it. Is a competent person, is the one who's diligent. Do you know that the best-selling record is not the best singer? I'm going to realize that. The person who sells the best, the most, is not the best singer. The person is just showing up on time. On time. And doing what they're supposed to do. On time. Competent. Diligent in what they're doing. And boom, they're the ones making most money from something they are not the best at. So you don't really have to be the best in what you're doing to succeed at it. You need to be diligent, and diligence will bring you to the top. Will get you to know enough, to do enough to succeed. And the guy who is the best at it can also succeed if he's diligent. I'll give you this example why I'm saying this, and then you understand. Somebody who was born naturally has a gift to do a thing, was not diligent. Are you telling me that this person will succeed over somebody who wasn't naturally born to do it, but learned it and is diligent at it? Why do you think people are comparing Messi and Ronaldo? I'm not a football fan, but at least I know this one. Why do you think people are comparing Messi and Ronaldo? Do you know that Messi is naturally a gifted soccer player, football player? Naturally. He doesn't need too much practice to do it. Ronaldo, on the other side, needs practice. He needs to be on the field. He needs to be practicing to do well. But yet, he's arguably, they are putting him over. This group will put him Messi over. This group will put Ronaldo. So let's say arguably, they are on the same plane. Are you still here? That's a typical example I'm using for you. That is not just being skillful naturally. That's wonderful. Just imagine that Messi was putting the amount of work that Ronaldo was putting. Praise the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You get it, right? Okay. Amplified now. Do you see a man skillful and experienced in his work? He shall stand in honor before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. I think we looked at that already. The last one, New King James Version. Do you see a man who excels in his work? Again, anyone who excels in their work are people who are diligent. This is the last one we're going to look at, and we pray now. Anyone who excels is somebody who is diligent. You can know it. I mean, you were here when the bishop was teaching us. I mean, it's not everybody. I think you're some select people. And he talked about people who are... What are the four people he talked? He talked about four different people. Willing and available. Willing and able. So he said, some people are not willing and they are not able. Waste of time. Push them away. Some people are unwilling, but they are able. Those ones, problem, push them away. The ones that he loves to work with are the ones that are not able, but they are willing. You get what I'm saying? So this guy is diligent. He's not skillful originally. That's not his gift, but he's diligent. He's willing, although he's not able. Eventually, that guy that was not able but was willing, eventually, when you come back in a few months, few weeks, few years' time, you'll be surprised that this is the same guy who was not able to do it. But now he's like the champion. He's one teaching everybody. Let's run up to our feet and pray.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.